We've got legal questions, and when we have legal questions, we bring in our legal expert, and that is Brad Young, KMOX legal analyst and attorney at Harris Dow Fisher.
No, no, he's a
and
partner.
Young. A partner at Harris Dow Fisher and Young.
He's a big deal.
He is a big deal. And Brad, as we welcome you in, I got to ask, how's Fisher doing?
Fisher's doing fine. He's retiring. So we're probably going to be renaming the firm in the first of the year, which means my name will be second. So according to your analysis, I will no longer be the anchor.
I know. Now you're like almost the least important person. What?
Well, I know.
You got to be at least the lead or the anchor.
How come you get to be, why are you second name? Because there's still Dowell.
Yeah, what happened to Dowell?
Dowell's retired. Harris
this place is
falling
apart.
So it's going to be Harris and Young?
Harris, Young, and Kaiser.
Oh. Are you going to let us know when this happens?
I will.
Okay.
You're going to get an official announcement, Amy, and I will give an honorary coffee mug to the show for both of you when we get new coffee mugs.
That is my favorite coffee mug.
But also, I got to set you straight on something. Crypto, the dog, is named, it's official. Listen, I know all things comic book stuff as well. Crypto is named after the planet Krypton. And yes, Chris, Superman's father is Kal-El.
Kal-El. And his Superman's name is, what is it? It's Kal something.
Clark Kent.
No.
No.
His alien name.
Jor-El.
Jor-El, that's it.
Jor-El. Yeah. So anyway, that sets the record straight there.
Yeah.
Jor-El and Kal-El.
Just okay, now let's get to these cookie people. This are you, all right, I'll ask the question. So there is this bakery, a local bakery called MacArthur's, and they have been making smiley face cookies for several decades, and they sell them online, and they employ disabled adults as part of their operation. Meanwhile, there is a company out of Pennsylvania that also makes smiley face cookies, and their website is smileycookie.com, and they sell smiley cookies to stores around the country. They sell to a bunch of schnooks as well. They are threatening legal action against this MacArthur's bakery. I read this story and I was like, come on, man. Like, I know that there are legal things that I don't quite understand. I fully understand. I fully get that part. But it just seems like it's over the top to claim ownership of smiley face cookies when they are in every bakery in the country.
Well, here's one of those things that only attorneys could dream up. All right. But there's a very simple answer to all of this. And the answer is this. The image of a smiley face is in the public domain because no one has ever trademarked it. It's ubiquitous. Mm. It's everywhere. The image of the smiley face. But the words, quote, smiley face, unquote, has been trademarked by the smiley company. And they license it out. All they do is license out the phrase smiley face, unquote. So to put this to the facts here, if MacArthur's wants to sell smiley face cookies, there is no problem with that. No one owns the image of a smiley face. But if they want to call them smiley face cookies, then they have to get licensing rights from the smiley company to do that.
Brad, how much would they have to change their name from smiley face cookies for it to be on the up and up? Could they call it Smiley Face Cookies STL, or is that too close?
No, that would be way too close, because anything that might give confusion to the marketplace will give rise to a trademark violation or a trade name violation lawsuit. So really, they couldn't call, I don't think you could use the term smiley in the name at all. You might say Smile, S-M-I-L-E, without the Y, and say Smile Cookie Company. You might get away with that, but you couldn't use Smiley Cookie STL without paying a licensing fee.
Okay. I know they say, you know, business isn't about being nice and so forth, but this is a company that's existed since the 70s, and it gives people with disabilities a job and an ability to make these cookies and sell them. Is a company like the Smiley Face Cookie Company up in the East Coast, is a company ever nice and said, listen, these people aren't really, it's not a national competition. They're not hurting our sales. We're going to let them keep Smiley Face. Do companies ever do that or no?
They cannot do that. There's an actual legitimate legal reason why they can't do that, Amy. And here's what it is. If you say, it's okay, we're not going to enforce it here. By doing that, then you are then allowing that name to go into the public domain. For example, Kleenex. Kleenex is can be used now in the open public domain because Kleenex brand didn't take enough effort early on to protect it. The word trampoline was a name brand, but because the company didn't enforce the name trampoline, then now trampoline is generic for a bouncy device where kids break their necks and then sue manufacturers. So, but the term itself used to be public or wasn't in the public domain. So here would be the way around this issue. If the Smiley company wanted to give MacArthur's a break and say, we know you're doing this for disabled people so they can have jobs and have income, what you do is that you license the name for $1 a year. And so at that point, you're still enforcing the trademark trade name while at the same time giving a break to disabled people. That's the way you get around the legal conundrum. And listen, if the Smiley company wants to call me, you know, my hourly rate is only $450 bucks an hour. I'll be happy to help them out.
They should call you.
They should.
What is the disclaimer that your judgments on law firms should not be based on advertising alone?
Yeah.
Right.
Right, but this isn't advertising. This is intense interrogation is what this is.
Okay.
It's what they call research.
Research, that's fair. Okay.
Hey, Brad, moving over to Clayton, where the St. Louis County Council resides. Goodness. So the big news.
Where there are no smiley faces, by the way. There are no smiley faces right now in St. Louis County.
Sam Page, not a big smiley guy. Okay, so the big news coming out of that 2.5 hour county council meeting, most of which I watched because that's the kind of life I live. Melissa Price Smith is Governor Parson's selection to replace County Prosecutor Wesley Bell. Now she also did apply or at least want to be, you know, perhaps Page's selection. Page did not select her. He picked Court Van Osteren. But in this hearing between the two, she mentioned that someone representing Sam Page called her, asked her to find dirt on Councilman-elect Mike Archer, who at the time was running for that seat to replace Ernie Trakas. He has since won. She said, he called me, said to find dirt on Mike Archer. When I said no, they said, try harder. This seems to me both, well, definitely unethical, but maybe illegal. Where are we legally with this request?
Well, right now, since, at least as far as I know, Melissa Price Smith testified that she didn't know who exactly called her. So since it was by phone, this is really unsubstantiated. Now, let me demonstrate with this idea. If it would be possible to obtain verification that that's what was done, this would be explosive. This is the kind of thing where people go to jail over this. However, since it's by phone, we don't know who said it. We don't know the context. There could be a dispute about what was said. There's no transcript of the call. Because of all those squishy parts of this story, I don't really see that there would be enough to even launch an investigation, much less prosecute anyone for this. But it certainly looks very bad.
Yeah, there's still probably like an ethical problem with this, right? Even if there's not a legal issue, it's definitely ethically questionable at minimum.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you could actually trace down the person who made this call to Melissa Price Smith, that person's going to say, that's not what I said at all. Mm-hmm. They're going to say the other side. So if true, yes, Chris, this would be a very strong ethical breach, but the other side would dispute it, and therein lies the problem. There's no proof to demonstrate who is right and who is wrong.
Yeah, when she mentioned she didn't know who called, as you said, that would be hard to verify. If they could have verified it, does it matter that, let's say you're going to find dirt on someone, if he had hired a private investigator rather than using someone whose salary is paid by taxpayer dollars, does that make a difference?
Yeah, that would make an enormous difference, because you could hire a private investigator to dig up dirt on anybody. It's not illegal. But what's illegal is using an official who's a prosecutor who's paid by taxpayer dollars to dig up dirt on a political adversary. That is exactly where the problem is. It's not the digging up the dirt. It's using a public official to dig up the dirt, number one, and then later conditioning a potential appointment on their refusal to do something unethical. Those are the two issues here. But at the end of the day, if you look at the overriding treetop, 10,000-foot view, drone view, so to speak, of this, the question becomes, who is empowered to appoint the prosecuting attorney? This is one of the easiest legal issues to decide. The governor has the power under the Constitution, and I see this Judge Brian May probably today, if not today, then certainly tomorrow, is going to rule in favor of Governor Parson on this issue.
So an appeals court has ruled that Fani Willis, the district attorney in Georgia, can no longer prosecute the case against President-elect Trump in the election subversion case. So what does the ruling mean as we say goodbye here? And also, what is next after this?
Well, again, easy legal issue. Anytime there's a conflict of interest, the only way to resolve the conflict is everyone has to go on both sides of the transaction legally. And that's not what the judge did in that case, but that's what the Court of Appeals said. That's the right call. And so the case is not dismissed. The state has the opportunity to hire a new prosecuting attorney to prosecute Trump. Then that new prosecutor will have the power to either continue with the prosecution or drop all charges. That's exactly where this is going.
Brad Young, as always, we appreciate it. The legal expertise is great, and we're really looking forward to you being number two.
We are.
Thank you. Well, many people said I've been number two for a long time, but I mean, that's in a different. Well,
you are.
I know what you mean.
Number two in the law firm and number one in our hearts, Brad Young.
Well, thank you, Avi.
Thank you.